I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We're serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 47, we have a condiment mini draft where I am under attack. We review your anonymous hot takes, and Travis crowns the new king of country music.
What's new, Nate?
I caught my first ever fish on a fly rod this weekend.
Dude, can we change what's new, Nate, to fly fishing with Nate?
Yeah, sure. Let's
like,
make
is that
it
the
a
new segment.
Segment? That sounds great to me.
Fly fishing with Nate is how we open the show.
What did you catch?
Just a little brim, like a stump knocker. But I caught like 10 of them.
All on
flies that I tied, by the way.
I'm looking at Emily, not Nathan. I'm basically ignoring Nathan at this point in the podcast. Well, 35 seconds in. I would like to know what percentage of our listeners tune out after we say what's new, Nate. And he says, fly fishing. And then they just turn it off.
Well, whatever that percentage is, they're definitely going to be gone, the rest of them, if it's just me and you having a podcast.
Oh, that's true.
You better be nice to my friend Nate.
Okay, that's a good point. No, congratulations on your first fish
Thank
on
you.
Fly.
I also caught like a 2-pound bass on it too, which was a lot of fun. Because I was fishing with these little topwater little beetle, foam beetle imitation things.
Yeah, we saw what you tied.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was fishing with that. And I was just popping along next to this dock. And this fish almost comes out of the water after it. It was an awesome eat and a really fun fight. So, you know, it's a good time.
That's
it's
exciting.
A good time.
I think you're pretty fly.
Don't.
For
a white guy.
A white guy.
I think he's pretty white for a fly guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Zing.
Both of those things are true. What's new with you, Travis?
Awkward silence.
I did the Travis hands this week.
What is new with me? Went to Cape Coral this past week to go to the Army Corps of Engineers meeting on the Lake Okeechobee discharges.
Yeah, how was that?
Couldn't tell you. We didn't get in the door.
I saw on Facebook where
so
it was,
we don't really know.
Yeah,
how
I saw
it
on Facebook where it was like super packed.
Yeah, I took Will with me because I think it's important to bring your kids to that kind of stuff and show them how democracy works and how showing up works and making sure your voice is heard. And on one hand, it kind of sucked to go that far and not get in the building.
Sure.
On the other hand, it's kind of exciting to see that many people there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of what that was exciting to me too, to see that many people show up. Because a lot of times you get those meetings and nobody goes. It's just like 10 people and nobody really gets their voice out. But this one seemed to be a major turnout
in the parking lot. Well, first off, there was no parking because there were so many people there. We had to park like a mile away. But there were dead manatees at the boat ramp. The smell was like unlike anything I've ever smelled. It's just like raw sewage. It's a bad situation what's going on down south. Florida is in trouble, y'all.
Yeah, I was thinking about it last night. And so, like this fishery that I've grown up with, you know, in Southwest Florida, this is the, like, I just, like, my heart is breaking for it. You know what I mean? It's just like...
It's hard not to get emotional
yeah,
talking
it
about
it. Saddens me to see what's going on, and I really hope something changes quickly, even though there's not a lot of light at the end of the tunnel right now.
I told Will, decisions are made by folks who show up. So
that's true.
The other thing I got that's new is this week, Friday, is the United Waterfowlers of Florida Waterfowl Summit, going to be discussing aquatic vegetation, which if I was a betting man, I'd bet that even folds in somehow to some of the toxins that are discharged through the Caloosahatchee and the St. Lucie River. When you kill that much plant life and let it turn into detritus on the bottom and it releases nutrients, and we just got a house of cards. Anyway, so I'm excited to go to that. I'll probably see some of our listeners there, see some folks I've known for a long time there. So United Waterfowlers of Florida Waterfowlers Summit.
That's a mouthful. Well,
yeah, I'm excited about that. What's new with you, Emily?
This might be one of the weirder things I've ever confessed to on the podcast. I have been having some bouts of insomnia where I will just kind of wake up at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and I'm up and I cannot go back to sleep. So I was looking, like, Google, you can search podcasts. So if you're a podcast person, you can just go search by genre or topic or whatever. So I searched sleep meditation because there are like these guided meditations you can listen to that help trick your brain into going to sleep and staying asleep. And I found one. It's called Sleep With Me. And
wait. It's called what?
It's called Sleep With Me. And it's this man, and he tells you a
don't like that.
He tells you a story Like each podcast is about an hour long and he uses the right cadence of voice and tone of voice. And he tells you a long rambling story that is completely nonsensical. Doesn't matter if you're listening or not. And he basically bores you into falling asleep. And it worked, y'all. It worked.
Babe, you're cutting into our podcast demographic. I think a lot of our listeners are doing the same thing.
What?
They're putting our show on.
I was about to say, with our show. Yeah. No, I've fallen asleep listening to like audiobooks before because they have that kind of cadence.
Exactly.
Like, you know, that da 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 da. And it puts you right to sleep.
Well, I'm falling asleep listening to this segment.
The episode I listened to was about leaf peeping, which if you ever watched West Wing, that's funny. So it I is. Selected it. And he literally just rambles on about like leaves in the fall and the color of leaves in the fall. And he like goes into all these details describing the colors. And I'm just like out. Zonks you out, but it distracts your brain from like focusing on the things that are, you know, like you have to do something tomorrow, it's a to-do list, or you have anxiety, or like you don't want to forget something. It turns all that off, so you sleep through the whole night instead of waking up worrying about stuff. So I don't know, y'all, it worked for me. That's what's new.
That's sleep. What's new and not your keep item. Did you get the segments confused?
No, I have a keep item too.
Wow,
it's pretty amazing.
Maybe I did get them confused though, now that I'm looking at my keep item. But whatever, we'll roll with it.
It's fine. It'll all be fine. This is radio. There is a game, The Foot.
A game is The Foot?
After the excitement, I mean, just it was palpable when folks heard our Sweet Tea draft. The phone lines went wild. The switchboard lit up.
People don't use phones for
people have reached out and we're like, we need more of this in our lives. So we're doing the first annual inaugural condiment draft. We have, first off, let me say this. I will be moderating this draft because I do not use condiments. Is peanut butter a condiment?
No, and you're also the worst American that's ever American in your life ever.
Hold on, because knowing you two... That was funny.
Hold on.
That was spicy take for me.
How is peanut butter not a condiment?
Can we pause? Because knowing you two, I've looked up the definition of a condiment because I knew this would come into question. And you, as a moderator, should have been prepared for this.
Is mayonnaise a
boom
condiment?
Roasted.
A condiment is a spice, a sauce, or a preparation that is added to food to impart a specific flavor, to enhance its flavor, or in some cultures, to complement the dish. I say peanut butter does fall into that spectrum.
Absolutely. It's in the same jar that mayonnaise is in.
See, I put peanut butter in its own food group. Like peanut butter is peanut same. Butter. I don't call peanut butter a condiment.
And I'm the worst American that ever lived.
I'm complimenting peanut butter here. I'm putting peanut butter in its own separate glorious category.
So we drew straws backstage before the show and Nathan gets first pick. How does that feel, Emily?
Hey-o.
Feels about
Nate,
right.
What is your first condiment ever in the inaugural condiment?
I'm going to go with the goat. Ketchup.
Emily, do you have a rebuttal for
that? That's uninspired. But okay.
I mean, you put it on.
Ketchup is the worst.
No, come on now. Ketchup is so versatile.
It's tomato juice.
Okay. It's really tasty tomato juice. It's really tasty.
It is really tasty. It's very sweet because it's loaded with sugar. And to your point, Nate, you can mix it with stuff. You can mix it with mayonnaise and make a little special magical sauce. You can mix it with Worcestershire and brown sugar and like put it on top of meatloaf, like ketchup.
Horseradish and turn it into cocktail sauce.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Dip shrimp in it.
All right.
That's my only condiment usage, actually.
That was predictable and uninspired, but you're right.
What have you got, Emily?
It is number one. My first pick is wasabi.
I'm sorry.
Wasabi?
What?
Wasabi.
That's a condiment? I don't even know what you... That's a condiment? I thought that was the stuff at a sushi place.
It is, like the green stuff.
Yeah. I would say it's a condiment.
It falls into the definition.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also, I'm like...
It's a condiment. And okay. It's freaking amazing.
And if you have a cold, just eat a spoonful of wasabi. You'll be cleared up in a heartbeat.
Eat it, snort it. It's medicinal. Thank you, Nate.
I appreciate you picking wasabi. You know you could have picked it like 27 picks from now and it still would be available. And Nate's about to pick like mustard or something. Nate, it's your pick.
Okay. I'm gonna go with hot sauce.
Oh.
Can you be more specific?
He went for the whole genre of hot sauce. You can't. As the moderator, I'll allow it.
Yes. Oh yes. Tabasco, Crystal, Frank's. Louisiana, I mean, across the board.
And a special shout out to Green Tabasco, which is my favorite.
I do like Green Tabasco. That is a great...
We call that Diet Tabasco.
Diet Tabasco.
There's something wrong with you.
Faux Tabasco?
Faux.
Tabasco? Can I say that? Tabasco?
But anyway, hot sauce.
You get the fourth pick too.
Don't I get a second pick?
Nah, we're doing this in a different order. Nate, you get the next pick as well.
Hang on. My second round pick is sriracha.
What? Say that again?
I'm sorry. That's not allowed. As the moderator, we're not going to allow that. That falls under the hot sauce category.
Sriracha is not a hot sauce?
Oh, yeah. It is. It's hot. Sorry.
Nate.
I'm not the moderator.
You are on the clock, Emily. Do you have a legit?
Okay. Mayonnaise.
That's it.
Nate, what's your third pick?
Oh, my God.
What is happening?
Oh, Lord.
You could not lay enough money on this table to make me taste mayonnaise. It is awful.
Which is shocking because most of what you eat is just white.
Yeah, but it's terrible.
But you eat casseroles and stuff with mayonnaise in it.
Nate, what is your
right?
New no. I do not.
Really?
No. That's a mistake.
He's like a bird dog on a scent with mayonnaise. Like if it's in the house, he's like.
Mayonnaise and onions. Keep those away from me. Nate, what is your final pick?
My final pick is.
In the first annual inaugural condiment draft.
That's also a mouthful. I'm going to go with spicy mustard. You know, like the ballpark mustard. Like,
boom.
You put it on a...
We had the same
bratwurst, like a, you know, hot dog. Man, that stuff's good.
Emily, you can go ahead and make a third pick, even though Nate's clearly the winner. Wasabi sets you back quite a bit.
My only other pick that wasn't on my list that Nate took was soy sauce.
She went full sushi.
Note to editor, insert cricket sound effect at this point. Soy, do you know what a condiment is? I could have drafted, no one said barbecue sauce.
I don't like barbecue sauce.
It's better than soy sauce or wasabi in the general use of the world.
Not if you love sushi and always have soy sauce and wasabi with it.
Did you just want sushi for dinner? Is that what's going on here? Have you been thinking about sushi today?
I mean, I haven't not been thinking about sushi.
I'm looking at her list, Nate. She's also got rice, seaweed, cucumber.
Avocado.
Spicy tuna.
Barbecue sauce was next on my list, by the way.
As promised, this week we are doing anonymous takes. So these are the hot takes that were so hot, so scintillating hot. Can you describe them? How hot are they?
That's a spicy meatball.
Oh, I can't. What the?
I was looking for Madonna in an 80s music video hot or something, not a terrible Swedish chef type deal. I don't even know what you did to Sesame Street in accents right there. Like, that was a hate crime on our show.
Whoa.
I threw up a little bit. I laughed so hard.
I apologize to our listeners.
This is the worst show we've ever done.
By far.
Oh.
Emily,
oh my God.
Do you have a hot take?
Are you done moderating? Because I don't like this.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Would you like me to get it started? Because I have a very hot take that I feel like I need to address.
Okay.
And this came to me in a DM. And believe it or not, this was the take. Why aren't you guys doing more about the Lake O discharges?
You know what I did? I got a wetsuit and I super glued 1,000 Brita water filters to myself. And I'm just going to go swim laps around.
Here's where we're at.
Oh, man.
To the person that asked that, are you talking about episodes? Because we've mentioned it in 4 or 5 episodes at this point. And we've mentioned a couple of times that we're doing an episode directed solely at this topic before the Florida primary elections.
Yeah,
at the end of August.
Yeah, dude doesn't even listen to the podcast. I mean, there's no way. There's no way he listens.
Point B. Point number B too. We have been to the meetings on DeSoto Mosaic. We have been to the Cape Coral Army Corps of Engineers meetings. We've talked to folks at state agencies behind the scenes. We've talked to folks from nonprofits behind the scenes. And again, we're planning a full episode devoted to this. And we've talked about it a crap ton. Number three. Number C. Finally, we have been talking about it.
You already made that point in the other 2 points.
I'm going to make it in this one again. Point C. In this time of dissension among even the outdoorsman's ranks, the ranks of the outdoorsman, We feel it is important to still stay true to the core of our show, which is having a good time, serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. So yes, to reiterate, you will hear us talk about it. We have been talking about it. Listen up. But also, we're still going to keep having fun and be true to our shows. So with that, you can just go find another podcast to listen to.
Well, or, you know, stick around. More to come.
Pay better attention.
So now that all that's out of the way, can we get back to having fun?
Yes.
Is it my turn to do a hot take?
It is.
Okay. Somebody sent this to me. Airboats forever. I'll wave as I scoot past you on dry land, you sorry mud motor losers.
Who sent that to you?
Anonymous.
I want you to tell us on the air who sent that to you.
That is anonymous, and I'll protect my sources.
Yeah. Nate, do you want to go first on that?
Here's an anonymous hot take. Airboats are the absolute worst.
Wow. I don't think it's anonymous when you say it after I call you out on the air.
Yeah, signed Nathan Henderson.
I don't think you know what the word anonymous means.
No, I mean, airboats, it's great that you can drive on dry land. So can my truck. I mean, I'm not all that impressed, to be honest with you. Anyway, that's about all I got to say about that.
Here's my deal. I love airboats. I think airboats might be the coolest vehicle on the planet, and I'm going to keep that hot take, that anonymous take. Even though I'm a mud boat guy, I think here's where I'm coming down. Airboats can go some places that mud boats can't go.
Lots of places, apparently.
But mud boats are easier to disguise if you've got to stay in the boat when you get there.
This is true.
Because an airboat has such a high, it has such a big cage.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's there is no perfect thing, but I feel like there's a compromise there. So I'll let them have that. I'll let that live, so to speak.
You get to live, Anonymous.
Nate, you got one?
Yeah, from Anonymous. Fly fishing is objectively the best way to catch a fish.
Really?
Yep.
Nate, did you send that to yourself?
No.
His face.
No, Anonymous. I'm protecting my sources, just like Emily said.
He looks so pleased
I
with yourself.
I can't believe someone would submit that to this show when they so clearly know that they're A, insane, B, wrong, D, also wrong. Did I skip one?
You are way out of control tonight.
Did I do those out of order? Yeah. A, B, C?
I think you're too flustered.
You went straight to D.
Wow. Yeah.
You're addled.
That's because I can't believe someone submitted that. Do you have commentary on that?
Read it to me again.
Fly fishing is objectively the best way to catch a fish.
Okay. Say we roll with that.
Okay.
But regular fishing is the most fun way to catch a fish and the most economic way to catch a fish.
Unless
you can catch it with your hands.
To that anonymous source, we'll go on a fishing trip and you bring your fly rod and I'll bring whatever I want. And we'll see if that's truly the best way to catch a fish.
Ooh.
Because I can think of exactly one scenario wherein fly fishing will outproduce, and that is dock lights for snook.
It's a cast off.
Outside of dock lights for snook, even then, I think I could probably beat you. So, yeah. Just message me, DM me, and we'll set that up and make it.
Then you got to think about the definition of best. So, is it best, like, quantity? Best quality? Best most rewarding? Best. Yeah.
Good for the soul.
I thought of all of those definitions, and in every case, it was not best.
Okay. All right.
I ran fly fishing through that filter, and it's not best.
Travis said, that's a for sure no.
Yeah. I think we've released fly fishing like 27 times, and then you went to some revival and got saved, and now you're like a fly fishing evangelist. This is like a bait and switch. All right,
Travis, do you have another one?
Hot take.
And I think either one of you could probably handle the rebuttal on this, and this is a legit message someone sent me. I'm reading this exactly as he wrote it. I really don't see what the fuss is about for power poles. Seriously, they're anchors. Big whoop. And he spelled whoop.
This isn't. Who is that?
It's like you just did a bunch of outtakes that I could just use to start sentences for you in editing.
Like, you know what? That guy, he's never been on a boat. Clearly. He's never been on a boat. He's never had to throw an anchor. He's definitely never been on a boat with Travis Thompson where you're fearing for your life 90% of the time. No.
I mean, it sounds like this person.
To add to that?
Moreover.
Actual nouns and verbs. Do you have anything like that to add to it?
I'm not done ranting. PowerPole is like the best company in America because if their product has a break or an issue, they like fix it and they're so on it. So you can go to Texas, guy.
Whoa.
Why should he go to Texas?
Sorry, that's a stupid inside joke from Drunk History.
Nate, would you like to follow up on that in defense or?
Yeah, well, it sounds like this guy obviously doesn't have power poles on his boat, and he wants them so bad that he has to put them down like a middle school girl, right? Isn't that what middle school girls do? They like get jealous of each other and they put each other down?
Yeah, grown-up girls.
So you're saying this is a jealousy thing?
Right. I think he wants power poles so bad he can't stand it.
Maybe he only freshwater fishes.
Have you ever seen a bass boat without a power pole?
Yeah.
There's no such thing. They all have power poles.
Two of them.
I've never seen one with a power pole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all have them.
Maybe he's a canoe guy, in which case, go away.
We don't feel that way about all canoe people.
Get off our show.
Yeah. I would like to echo what Emily said. I have broken my power poles, both of them, several times. And Power Pole has always stood behind the product. Even when it was out of warranty, they replaced some stuff one time. Great company. Whoever is writing this, if you don't see what the fuss is about, because you can walk up to the anchor locker, that's fine. You walk up to the anchor locker and do you, but don't be hating on us. Because we're running a superior product times
that
two.
That guy has got to be like 20 years old with muscles in his earlobes. Because if you're older than that, you don't want to go throw an anchor because it hurts.
Correct. So. Or you don't want to just keep having to pull the anchor in and out all day. Which may be a laziness thing, but I don't want to do that.
Well, yeah. It's hard on your body being in a boat anyways all day. Because you're like constantly making up for the movement. I just did that off the mic like an idiot. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm out.
I thought that was a pretty aggressive take, and I would think if we polled our listener group, we would get like 15,999 for power pole, and this guy,
and this guy.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how hot that take was.
Okay, the next one that got sent to me, I feel like this was targeted. Decoys are for amateurs. If you can't call in ducks with your duck call, or by laughing and faking them out like my granddaddy, get out of here and let the real men hunt.
I know who that's from. Pretty sure I know who that's from. And I have no response to that. I'm without speech. What are you talking about? Decoys are dumb.
If you can call the ducks over, why do you need decoys?
To get the ducks to land.
Yeah. I mean,
so Nate can shoot them sitting on the water.
The ducks have to visualize where the noise is coming from. Because if you get them to come over with a...
You're just quacking.
If you get them to come over with a call, it's just pass shooting at that point. You're not actually like... getting them to decoy in, which is hence why it's called decoying ducks.
Now, let me ask some questions here, because I know a guy who had a duck call. It was like black and he could shake it in his hand and it would go like brr, 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 and it sounded like happy little ducks in the water.
You're talking about a feeder call.
A feeder call. So
I have one of those.
Are you like... This can't be true 100% of the time, because ducks do land without other ducks being there. Otherwise, ducks would never land.
Yes, that's a good point.
That's true.
Fair point. And I do know, this is why I think I know who this is. I do know at least one of our listeners that does not use decoys and is a successful duck hunter.
So step up your game.
I don't know that he laughs them in like his grandpappy. I think that was maybe thrown in there for hijinks. But he for sure kills ducks, quite a few of them, by being in the right spot. And working a call correctly.
There you go.
I'm still releasing it because it's absurd.
You can't release Same. Hot takes. We're not doing releases.
I released it. You can't make the rules up. By the way, I just want to call out Josh Margroff. Do you know him, Nate? Josh Margroff?
I do not.
On the Cast and Blast Facebook page, raise his hand. I shoot ducks on the water or decoying. So there's two of you now.
There's two of you.
We should
Following
be friends.
Up to last week's hot take.
We should be friends.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Nate, you got another one?
Yeah. This one says, Gaddies is a stupid name for gadwall.
Agreed.
I think I agree with that, too.
I think that's the dumbest nickname I've ever heard.
Why don't they call him Wallies?
And I think partially because, yeah, well, gadwall is kind of a funky little weird little name anyway. You just got to kind of embrace that, right?
Yeah, some
and
people call
Gaddies
him. Some
is
people
not that much shorter.
Yeah, some people call him Gray Ducks.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that for a nickname.
Right, Gaddies is stupid, though.
Here's the thing. A nickname should like, get you something. It should either be, like, really cool, like when you call a Merganser or a lawn dart. Maybe, it's completely different.
Maybe it needs a little something.
It needs to be spiced up.
Like Fatty Gaddy the Big Fat Daddy.
Okay. What? You just can set out the gadwall talk for a second. Are you drunk? What is in that coffee cup? Let me smell that.
No, I'm not drunk. I just like to write songs, and that just rhymed.
Or a nickname should shorten what you've got. Like if you want to call Gadwalls Gads, what are you shooting? Some Gads. It's quicker, right? You don't have the two syllables. Gads.
He just has these dead eyes. He looked at me. He's like, Gads.
Gads. Like a doll's eyes. All no, right.
I like Fatty Gaddy, the big fat daddy.
Do you have another one?
Shoot him in the head and then make him into a patty.
Oh my God.
What's wrong with you?
I can't be stopped.
No, that's the problem.
Oh, I got another one. Hold on.
You have one more?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody wrote in because we've mentioned He Who Must Not Be Named Chesney.
Yes.
A few times. And Garth Brooks. Somebody wrote in and said, Brad Paisley. Underrated. Maybe the next Garth Brooks.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there.
I think I agree.
Nate, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree. I think he's a great artist and he has done some good work, but I wouldn't call him the next Garth Brooks.
He would probably thank you for that.
Have you heard his, there's a song, hang on, how does it go? It's like an old hymn that he does on one, the end of one of the albums. I think he always does an old hymn at the end of his albums, but this one's like, Blessed Savior, Thou Wilt Guide Us. That dude, his vocal chops are crazy. Or that song from that show. I'm really good at this.
That song from that show.
What's that show you're crazy about?
I'm actually... Among
with Winona and
tuning out.
Help me. What is that Western called that you watch?
I don't know.
With
Oh, Never Leave Harlan Alive.
Yes, that song. But
You'll
what's
never
the
leave
show?
Harlan Alive. Justified.
Justified. You're gonna have to cut all that out. Seriously.
Nope. I'm leaving that in.
Justified. It's got on the end of season one, I think, Brad Paisley singing You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive. Crazy vocal chops, and he's got the guitar chops to go with it, and I love the way he writes songs. Like, he's just so so good.
So let's go back to anonymous commenter's opinion. Garth Brooks, how are his guitar chops? Emily, would you like to go, since you're a lifelong Garth Brooks fan? How are his guitar chops?
They are fair to middling, I would say.
Yeah,
he's no Brad Paisley, but he can do some power chords.
Yeah, Garth Brooks could play at your local mega church. He could not lead Brad Paisley's band.
Okay,
right, so right there, Brad Paisley's ahead already. Vocally, I would say they're both pretty good vocally. Garth Brooks has some good weird vocally stuff he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Songwriting, once again, Brad Paisley far outdistances Garth Brooks.
Questionable.
Far outdistances Garth Brooks.
Are they
who doesn't even write all of his songs and whose songs don't make freaking sense. So, to anonymous commenter, you're objectively correct. Brad Paisley is not the next Garth. Well, you're wrong and right. Brad Paisley is bigger than the next Garth Brooks. He's already bigger. He's already surpassed Garth Brooks.
No, he hasn't.
In the real world, in people whose opinions matter, he has.
Okay.
Are those your opinions? The people whose opinions matter?
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, only him. He's got a Venn diagram with himself.
I tend to speak for
one
the
circle.
Masses.
One circle is Travis,
I
and
speak
it's all
for the
true.
Masses.
That was my last hot take. I don't have any more.
I don't have any more.
Hey, I don't have any more. No.
Mercifully, hot takes is done.
We needed to be done with that.
Speaking of hot takes and releases and keeps, I may have the spiciest release of all time.
Uh-oh.
Tell us.
And Nate is not going to love this. He's not going to love it at all. Nate, have you listened to the Meat Eater podcast episode, The Gladesman?
I have listened to that one.
Did you have any thoughts on that one?
I thought it was good. It was, okay. It's been a while since I've listened to it, but I thought it was good.
No, I would like to call out Steve Rinella as my release. For that episode, a number of people were like,
whoa,
is your podcast anything like Meat Eater? He did a great one on Gladesmen. So I listened to the Gladesmen podcast. It is about commercial sword fishing. One of the co-hosts he brought in to do the Gladesmen podcast is some client from Chicago.
What?
And I can't find anyone that's heard of either one of the guys that he met with in the Everglades. They talked about shooting gars with bows and arrows, frog gigging, and commercial longlining for swordfish. So, Steve, I love you. I think you're awesome. I love your show. But that was a big, fat swing and a miss. And you don't have to hit us up, but like, there's a list of names of people you could hit up that could help you put together a show on Florida, the Gladesmen, Florida Outdoors, what's going on down here. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that.
And I do feel Yeah, I do feel that the show really didn't encompass what the Everglades in Florida was all about. It was kind of, it was more about like what they did while they were here, not necessarily about Gladesmen.
Yeah, it was a swing and a miss. And let me say this, as a podcaster, we take some swings and misses. Anybody remember the hats episode? Like we try some things that may or may not work, but we're okay with you guys telling us if they don't work. I'm just saying that one didn't work, and I think you should try a do-over on. Like everybody kind of like loves Meat Eater so much. They're like, oh, that's the best thing ever. And it's really good. It's a great show. And Ranella's probably the smartest guy in the outdoors industry. But that was a big fat swing and miss. Anyway, that was my release.
I haven't heard it.
I was so really disappointed in it.
I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with
Someone told me, oh, it's all about public lands. It's all about the Everglades. It's none about any of that stuff.
No, it's not. It's not.
So it's an interesting show, but the guys that were on there, and I'm sure they're great guys and accomplished outdoorsmen, they were not well-spoken. They weren't prepared for the show. It wasn't a good episode. So I'm releasing that. Boom. Spicy take.
Bye.
That's a hot take for sure.
What you got, Nate?
I'm gonna release. We do it every week, but I'm gonna keep doing it because it's on my heart. It's all the freaking dead fish that's popping up all over Southwest Florida. Like it just breaks my heart. Like I can't look at it anymore. Like I just keep scrolling when I see it on my feed because it's like every three posts.
Same.
I'm over it. I hate what it's done to my favorite place on earth. Honestly, I'm just like, this week I've been thinking about it a lot more and it's just been, I'm really tore up about it.
Yeah. It's bad. Like the fish was bad. Like the red tide was bad to see that. But then when you start seeing manatees, and I saw a dolphin today.
Dolphins. Yeah.
I mean,
big, like, huge Goliaths, big tarpin. Yeah, I mean, these are fish that survive red tide in general.
Mm-hmm.
Will and I saw a manatee that was dead. And it had a group of manatees pushing it up when we were at Cape Coral. He was dead right there on the bank, and the other manatees were around him trying to push him up. And like when you see something that sweet and that big, and like we tease about manatees and stuff a lot, but you like seeing them around. Like they're an enjoyable part of our adventures.
Right. Absolutely.
And they're super Florida. You don't see them anywhere else. And when you see that kind of thing, like that's super sad. And Emily was like, man, I don't really want to know about that. And I was like, yeah, but you got to know about that because that's what's going on. Like we can't ignore it. We can't tone that down. It's bad and it sucks and it's graphic and it's sad, but we also need to hold our elected officials very accountable for what's going on, and we need to hold ourselves accountable for what's going on. So right. In rant, that's a good one, Nate.
So when this episode airs, it will be August 7th.
Yep,
that is my release. Summer's over. It's August 7th. That'll be 10 days till we take our little girl to college.
Yep.
School. It's even less than that for Will starting school back. Will of the 2 Minute Will fame, if you're an OG listener. And I cannot believe that summer's over. Like it's over.
Yep. Like that.
Like that. And it's hot.
Hopefully.
It's not a spicy take. I just can't believe it's August already.
Yeah, no, that's a good release. I don't want to talk about taking my daughter to college right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not prepared for that. So we're just going to gloss right over that and keep going to
all
our
right.
keep items.
All right.
Let me start off the keeps as I start off the releases, because I'll pick us back up a little bit. And Nate has kept this. I think I've kept it before, and I think we've had a guest to keep it. But if you're not a member of Captains for Clean Water, those are the guys that are doing the most, in my opinion, on this water issue in Southwest Florida. And they're involved on the East Coast as well, the St. Lucie discharges. But Chris Whitman, Daniel Andrews, Josh Greer, super involved with those guys. Get involved with them. It's $25 to join. It's money well spent. And they are absolutely representing our best interests in the right way. They're not going in there and just raising hell. They're doing a good job of conveying their messages and asking questions. And they're people you want to be aligned with. So if you're looking for someone to join in a fight, that's a good place to start. Captainsforcleanwater.org. Sorry. I'll correct it in the show note. What about you?
Can I do my keep next?
Yes.
So Nate and I have like kind of referenced this guy before on the show, but there's this Christian comedian. His name is John Christ. And I can say this now because by the time this goes live, I'll have given it to my mom already. But I got tickets to see John Christ in Orlando for my mom for her birthday. And we're going to go see him. So
that guy's hilarious.
He is so, so funny. If you were a 90s Christian kid, you got to go find him on the internet. John Christ.
Yeah, hilarious. He's the one that does worship song titles as business names.
Yeah, that was like a viral thread on Facebook. And
yeah. And he always does, like, we're going to recap Easter Sunday morning, a Sports Center style, like a press conference. And he's a very funny guy.
Yes. He's really, I think, nicely pointing out some things the church could do differently by making fun of it. And we all know it's true. And all you can do is laugh and look at yourself in the mirror and figure out how to fix it. So
yeah,
I just think he's awesome.
What about you, Nate? You have a
keep? So my keep is a, it's a series of books that I'm reading right now. They're by Dawn Lee McKenna, and she is out of like the Florida Panhandle area, and they're like a cop mystery type books, but they intertwine some, like, and they're based in Apalachicola, so they kind of intertwine the fishing culture and the oyster culture in with the story. And I think there's like eight of them, but they're short, they're easy reads, and they're pretty good. It's, you know, it's about a cop who lives there, has grown up there. And hijinks ensue, and it's just a really solid book if you're looking for just kind of an easy summer read. Even though summer's about over, they're just a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed kind of reading them. So
that sounds awesome.
We have, funny you say that, we have at least one listener, avid listener, fan of the show, who is a former cop that just moved to Apalachicola. That's kind of funny. Maybe he moved up there to be
interesting
ghostwriter of those mystery novels.
Maybe.
And
maybe. The first book's called Low Tide. If you want to look it up, it's really good.
That's Emily's motherland.
Yeah, I want to read those, especially if it's like an easy read, because I don't want anything heavy.
She's like a 27th generation.
Oh yeah, they're super
easy. Colon.
I am. Those are my people.
That's pretty impressive. Stay woke.
Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where we for sure use decoys when we're duck hunting. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's super easy. You can just tap the 5 stars. For more info on Captains for Clean Water or the books or podcasts mentioned in today's show, head over to our website, castandblastfl.com, and click on Listen. That will take you to the show notes with links for all of our content. Later.